Amen. Well, welcome to House Fires. I'm excited to see everybody here tonight. Like I said, we're going to do something a little different tonight. I'm feeling a stirring on talking about a specific topic here for a bit, and then we're going to press into worship and prayer. And so obviously you've seen the title up here, The Seven Hebraic Praises. This is a message that I preached not too long ago. I have a stirring in my heart for this. But real quick, is anyone new to House Fires? First time ever here at House Fires? Raise your hand. Amen. We got a couple over here. Amen. Well, for those who don't know, this is House Fires. Our vision is to equip and encourage and empower the body of Christ. And so I want to share real quick, and then I'm going to have Nick Fela share a testimony. So my wife and I, we were living in California. I'm originally from here. In 2020, we felt the Lord call us back to the Midwest. And as much as I missed my home, we were looking forward to living in California, as crazy as it can be, for as long as we wanted to. We were ready to stay. We were going to buy a house and everything. The Lord just picked us up and told us to come back to the Midwest. And I remember coming back to the Midwest and the Lord giving me a dream of Omaha. And in this dream, I saw the downtown area. I felt like I was looking over it, and there was these storm clouds that started turning above it and spinning. And I felt the voice of the Lord say, this is spiritual warfare. War for the hearts of the believers in this region. And I said, okay, what kind of war is it? And it's a religious spirit, a war of the religious spirit, trying to contaminate the churches and develop just Christians who are not sold out, who are lukewarm for the Lord. A lot of confusion over the churches. And then the Lord, in this vision, this dream, the Lord took me into like these churches, and I can see a bunch of different churches. And as the pastors were preaching and as the worship leaders were worshiping, it was almost as if like water was coming from their mouth and it was splashing onto the people. And these people, like vessels, began to fill up. And then all of a sudden, I began to see these people begin to leak as if they had holes and cracks in them. And at the time, I'm like, okay, what does this mean, Lord? And he gave me Jeremiah 2. And in Jeremiah 2, the Lord says, my people have committed two sins. One, they have forsaken me, the living water. And two, they have made themselves vessels, cisterns, broken cisterns that hold water, that hold no water. And so as the Lord began to unpack this, I realized that we here in the American church have created a Christianity in our own image. And we have built a system. And in this system, we've called it Christianity, and it has holes and it has cracks in it. And so the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, my people are so good at getting filled, but they don't know how to stay filled with me. And so I began a two-year process of praying and fasting until in 2022, the Lord spoke to my wife and I and said, you don't see it because I'm calling you to build it. And he says, you're not a church, but you're for the church. And I know we are the church, but I felt such a strong urgency in my heart to open up our home, to bring people in, and literally just create a space where the Holy Spirit leads every aspect of it, where we lay down our lives, less of us, more of him, and we begin to see God move in eight people the first night in our living room, with one man getting delivered and set free from demonic oppression and suicidal thoughts for 18 years. And he said that was the first night in 18 years that he stopped hearing the voices in his head telling him to kill himself. And so we said, that was amazing. Let's do it again next Friday. And then 25 random people showed up at our doorstep that we had no idea who they were. And we began to invite these strangers into our home. And then it went from 25 to 40 to 45 to 50 to 60. Soon enough, when they're rummaging through your kitchen cabinets, you say, okay, we need a new place. And so then we rented a place, and then it got to 60, and it got to 80. And I'm by far not measuring success of a ministry off of how many people show up, but how many disciples you create and how many disciples you can send out. That, to me, is success. So if you have 25 people and all 25 people are hungry and sold out, I say that is success. If you have 1,000 people and only 900 of them are lukewarm and 100 of them are on fire for the Lord, that's amazing. But I want to see people not just say a prayer, but I want to see them live it out. And so then we came here, hooked up with Nick Fela and their vision, and this, that was just a testimony in itself right there. And then we begin to just gather here with this heart to see the body of Christ raised up. You know, there's so many people that come into churches and they leave the same way. They leave broken, they leave hurt, they leave confused. And I don't think that should be the way. You don't see it in the Bible, is that you see people when they came in contact with believers, when they came in contact with the Holy Spirit, there was a transformation, there was a fire that got passed on to them. And there was repentance and there was baptism. And there was literally a life laid down for the Lord, willing to die for Jesus. And so that's our heart for House Fires. It's kind of a lot to explain that every single time, but I felt like I wanted to share it tonight. And so,
testimony. We serve a wild God. And like 2 Sundays ago, CJ, like it's like been my mantra for the last like 2 weeks. He shared this brief little thing at the end of a Sunday. He read out of Matthew 10. He said, the Matthew 10 verse 7. Says, and he's sending the disciples out. He says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. And I love what he did. He goes, you work at Walmart. That's great. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You've been freely you receive, freely give. You're unemployed. That's great. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. He just going out, and it was awesome. And I just was like challenged, like wherever we're at in our daily lives, we should be encountering this, living out the kingdom of heaven at hand. So, my boring day job is commercial real estate. We have an office. It's not an office people like come and go in. Okay, generally. And this lady on Monday walks into my office, and immediately when she walks in, I come around the corner. And I just felt there was like demonic stuff on it. And she just kind of didn't say anything much, just kind of asked some questions like, oh, what business is this? We get people who kind of are lost sometimes, just kind of explained it to her. Just kind of a weird, like Lord was, something was on it. And she just kind of asked some questions, was getting ready to leave. I noticed she's holding, this was on the day of the eclipse, by the way. She's holding some books that say Witch Boy. And she's got some bracelets on and some earrings that I noticed, probably affirmed what was in my spirit. But she walks out and she's kind of wandering around. I kind of stopped and I even told my brothers, I'm like, because I work with my brothers, I said, I feel like, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I feel like there was something demonic on that. Sure enough, I go get lunch. I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, if you want me to do something about this, bring her back across my path. So I went driving around just the circle of where I work. Sure enough, there she is. I stop her and I look at her and I said, hey, and she looks straight at me and she goes, you found me. And I said, yes, I did. And I said, you remember me? You just stopped at our office? She said, yeah. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. By the way, I'm going to share this Sunday too, so if you guys hear it twice, sorry. I said, is there something spiritual going on here? She said, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, do you know Jesus? She said, yeah. I said, do you follow him? She said, no. I said, I was like, well, I'll be honest with you. When you walked in our office, I said, first of all, did you go to any other offices? She said, no, just yours. And I said, why ours? And she said, well, I've been having recurring dreams of your building. And she said, and my daughter has kept, she said, it's so, I don't know why, but she keeps asking me when we're gonna go to the atrium building. And I have no reason to, I don't know why she's saying that. And she said, I felt this light drawing me to your building. This energy source was drawing me to your building, and I don't know why. And I said, okay, well, can I tell you why? And she's a spiritist, so it was very like, you know, everything's the universe and the energies and, and I said, so can I ask you a question? Is there a spirit that, I feel like there's a spirit that's on you that is harming you that you can't get rid of? I said, is that true? She said, yeah. I said, okay, can you explain that? And she said, well, there's a guy who I knew was involved with, and she said he had a spirit on him that was harming him, and I didn't want to see it harming him anymore, and so I took it upon myself for him. And ever since then, it's just been tormenting me, and I can't get rid of it. And I said, is this the only one? And at first she said no. Come to find out, there was a lot of them. This story gets better. Sorry, I'm taking too much time here today. And so basically, long story short, I said, okay, well, do you want to get rid of it? And she said, yeah. I said, because I know Jesus. And Jesus and the blood of Jesus can get rid of it. So if you want, I can pray for you. We're in the middle of a parking lot. So I lay my hands on her, and she starts, like, manifesting. And she's like, you know, it's in my back, it's in my chest, I'm feeling it's burning. And I just prayed the fire of the Lord upon her, and she said, it's burning, I can feel it burning. And I said, well, he's gonna get rid of it. I said, so can I, and I told her, I said, I'm gonna pray in a language you may not know, is that okay? And I'm gonna put my hand on your head, is that okay? She said, yes. And the moment I did that, she fell to her knees, and she said, it's leaving. Jesus. And she's on her knees in the middle of a parking lot, and she's crying out to Jesus, the one who she said was just, oh, it's just a spirit, it's just a, there's energies all over. And she's in the middle of the parking lot, and she's weeping, and she's crying out, Jesus, I surrender, you are the only light, you're the only light, you're the only light. And she just starts, you know, sometimes with deliverance, it's like we got to walk them through it. She was basically walking herself through deliverance without even knowing what it was. Like, she's declaring forgiveness for all the people that she needs to forgive. She's repenting of all the sins she needs to repent of. She starts going through every single demonic spirit that she has ever interacted with and says, I am declaring that I'm breaking ties. This wasn't me prompting her. Like, I didn't even prompt her. She just goes, I'm breaking ties with boom, 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 boom. Just starts breaking them off. And she said, it just left her. It just starts leaving her. And so we were praying with her for probably an hour, hour and a half. And it wasn't just the, like, deliverance part of it. Like, she legitimately, I said, you need to surrender to Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. The King Jesus. Because this is the kingdom of heaven at hand. And she just starts surrendering. She just starts, and like in words that most of your pastors probably couldn't put better. Like, she just starts surrendering. Jesus, you are the only Lord. You are the only Lord. She's weeping. And she said, I will not serve, fill in the blank. I will not serve and follow Ouija boards. I will not have portals. I'm shutting every door and every portal. I will not time warp or whatever it is. I don't know. Like, and she just starts going. And so, long story short, I could go into more, but I mean, it was like an hour and a half. She surrenders to the King and just gets freed on the spot, all because the light brought her there. I said, that light is not just some random light. That light's the Holy Spirit, and he brought you to our door. So it was wild.
Come on. How many of you guys know we serve a powerful God? Amen. And I want to clarify that that is not just a what a lot of people call a charismatic thing. That is a biblical thing. And for too long, as the Bible describes, is that we've had a form of godliness but denied its power. And so I just want to declare the power of Jesus. He has the power to break every bondage, every sickness, every disease, every form of depression, anxiety. He has the power. How many of you in here have been set free or healed from the power of God? Raise your hand. Come on, look around right now. Come on. And so, you know what that tells me? It said we have no reason not to worship him. We have no reason not to lift our hands and praise him tonight, because he is good. He is good. And it may look different for you. You know, I've seen people screaming. I've seen people just passed out, boof, and they're just in peace. And when I got set free, I remember just it felt like this weight lifted off of me, and this warm blanket came on top of me. And I just felt a peace that I've never felt my entire life, a peace that I was searching for my entire life. And in the world, there is no fulfillment in the world, maybe temporary, maybe for a little bit, but the only fulfillment that will last eternity is that of the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, I feel like we could just start praying for people the rest of the night and just start freedom. But I know without a doubt that one of the ways that God sets people free is through praise and worship, though. And how many, we got some worshipers in this place? I've seen some of you guys. Eric, you got the flags? Come on. We got flags. We're ready to worship the Lord. It doesn't matter. We will worship the Lord. But I want to encourage you guys. So I want to teach this. I want to do it. I don't want to do it really fast. But if we could spend days on these seven different Hebrew praises that the Bible describes. And, you know, when you look at the word love in English, we have the word love. Oh, thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it, bro. He could be playing there all night. And so biblically, Hebrew, we have one word for love in English. So it's like at the same mouth, we say, I love sushi. And then we go, I love Jesus. And obviously, we don't love them the same. I hope not. If we are, we'll definitely pray for you after service because there's a different love there for Jesus than you would have love for sushi. But in Hebrew, there's different words for love that describe. We got phileo. Is like a brotherly, friendly love. You got agape love, which is the God. Unconditional love. And so it breaks it down, describes it. And then in English, we have one word for praise. But in Hebrew, there's actually seven words that describe different praises for the Lord. And so what I want to do is I want to go through each one of these real quick. And I want to paint a picture for you guys of what biblical, godly praise looks like. And I believe that even in the praise tonight, after we do this, we're going to praise. I believe there's even some of us, we don't even have to lay hands on you. You guys are going to be set free in the surrender and submission of praise and worship, the style that the Lord designed us to be in. Amen. And I want to just speak to you men here tonight real quick. I have a heart and a vision for the men, husbands, fathers, men of God, is that I've been praying for revival in Omaha for as long as I can remember. And I feel with all of my heart that will only come to pass when men begin to rise up, husbands begin to lead their families properly, and fathers begin to lead their children in a way of undignified worship for the Lord. And it's gonna take us men putting our pride down, throwing some stuff off, not being these macho men that the people have painted us as, that we can't show emotions. But I really feel like we won't see a true move of God unless the men in this room, the men in this city, the men in the church begin to rise up and set an example for those around them and their family and their children in an undignified worship that says, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I only care about the opinion of one, and his name is Jesus. Amen? All right, so do we have someone? You want to do that, Nick, or we want someone? I got some slides, so I don't want to. There's these words, you're going to have to, you can spell them out. But I hope, bring notebooks. You got notebooks? You got your phones? Write some stuff down. We're going to press in real quick. Yes, so, very good. Who said that? Halal? Halal, y'all. Number one, the Hebrew praise, halal. It means to shine, to make a show, to boast, to be glamorously foolish, to rave, guys. To celebrate, to glory, to give light. Guys, I just want to focus on the word rave because I believe the world steals so much stuff from the church. Guys, we invented rave dancing as Christians. Come on. Like, you know, the world does it for the glory of themselves, but we do it for the glory of the Lord. I just feel like there is a worship that we shine, we make show, we boast, we glamorously, we be foolish before the Lord and for people. We celebrate and to give light. And so, halal, we are like, we in our English language, we're like, oh yeah, praise. Let's praise the Lord, you know, but it's so much more than that. And the best that I can see in Scripture is like this foolishness that we are willing to give ourselves to. From the top to the bottom, we are given over to the foolishness of God. This is actually where we derive the word hallelujah from. It's the praise the most that we are capable of giving. You're seeing those people when they're rave dancing, they're like in the middle of that circle and they're just like going crazy. Yeah, the glow sticks and the whistles and stuff like that. It's like this crazy, foolish worship for the Lord. And so when people say hallelujah, it's like hallelujah. No, it's like hallelujah! Yeah. It's the loudest I've ever probably been, honestly, on a microphone. Forgive me, I probably scared some people, sorry. And so it's the foolishness we're willing to give ourselves to, the fullness of God, because he is worthy. Like I said, it's where we get the word hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. It's rave praise, guys. Come on, it's rave praise. And I wrote down here, I'm just going to stand here with my arms crossed and I'll glorify the Lord that way. I highly doubt it. So I'm challenging you guys tonight. It's going to be a little weird for some of you guys. All right, the second one. See, I wasn't so bad. FYI, that halal praise is the praise that you see David when he comes back, when they're bringing the ark back and he's dancing undignified, and even his wife is like, you look like a fool. And he's like, I'll look even more like a fool for the Lord. I don't care. All right, yada. Number two is yada praise. Exodus 17:11. Write these scriptures down. You can look them up. 1 Timothy 2:8. Yada means to reverence or worship with extended hands as if you're throwing a stone or an arrow. That's my wife. If you guys ever seen her praise, she is dangerous, okay? You want to get away from her when she's worshiping a yada praise, because she is swinging her hands as if she's throwing something. And it's a praise that is in complete surrender to the Lord, declaring our dependence on him, proclaiming our love for our Father. I said, this is not charismatic. This is biblical. I know we always say that. Oh, you don't have to do all that, brother. No, you do. And it's not that we have to. It's that we get to. Amen? So I have some fun facts, because I always believe that science confirms the word of God. Amen? It says, fun facts, statistics say that if you stand with your hands raised for minutes at a time, it actually raises, for you men, testosterone in your body. Amen. So it's funny, because we have painted this thing where in order to be like manly, you don't do those things. But God actually designed it for where if you want to be the manliest you can be, it actually involves you praising the Lord in complete surrender. Amen. Now here's one for y'all. And I know you're all sitting right now, but I know it's because I told you to. But if we sit shut off and our bodies are at rest, it actually boosts the levels of cortisol in our bloodstream. And you actually feel more stressed and anxious. There's not one scripture that defines praise as hands to your sides and arms crossed. I want men and I want women tonight, when we do this, I want to lift up holy hands to the Lord. It's part of our design, guys. It's part of how the Lord designed us to be. We do it so much for the world at football games. We do it so much when we're watching TV, when we're playing sports, we're excited, we go outside, we do all these things, but then why do we become so timid when we come into the church to worship the Lord? Is he not more worthy of our praise and our excitement and our joy than anything that the world has to offer? Come on. I'm stepping on toes tonight. I'd rather offend you all the way to heaven than comfort you all the way to hell. Amen? Number three, give us some more. Oh, man. Throwing spiritual hands tonight, guys. Sorry. Number three. Ooh, this is one of my favorites. Tau Da praise. How many of you guys heard me talk about this praise before? A Tau Da praise. What it is, it's to extend or raise your hands, again, in thanksgiving and adoration for something that hasn't happened yet, or that you have not yet received. I know y'all waiting on some promises, amen. I know you guys have been praying for some stuff, for some breakthroughs, for some healings, for some whatever it may be. This kind of praise is a praise of faith, amen. Raising hands with thanksgiving in one hand and confession in the other. Exodus 17 is actually the one where Moses is in the battlefield. And in order, they're only winning if Moses' hands are raised and the people come up behind him as he's getting tired and they lift his hands up. What it's saying is that we're entering into the gates with praise and thanksgiving for something that we know has been promised to us, but we haven't seen it yet. Let me break this down for you. Faith without action is dead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many of us, it says, I'll believe it when I see it. No, faith says, I'll believe it even if I haven't seen it, because it was promised by the word, it's promised by God. Amen. So I really believe, this is one of my favorite, but I really believe that there are some of us in here tonight that haven't received things that have been promised to them by the Lord, or you haven't seen things that are biblical manifest in your life because you have not developed a praise to the Lord. See, you're waiting on God, but God's waiting on you. You've been waiting on the Lord. You said, in his timing, but God's saying, I'm waiting for you to get undignified. I'm waiting for you to come into my gates with praise and thanksgiving, with a faith that says, God, I haven't seen it, but I know that you are faithful. Amen? Amen. Number four, I know I said we're kind of cruising through this, but I want to get some time to praise and worship for you guys. Number four, Tehillah. Tehillah. No, it's Tehillah, okay? If you got excited for that, we'll pray for you too, okay? Stepping on some toes, I love it. Tehillah. To proclaim his excellence, renown, and glory of God, to be a hymn or a song of praise, always a new song with a choir, with community. This is when we gather Sundays or whenever we gather, when we're worshiping as a family, as a community. This is Tehillah. It's to sing, now get this, to sing unrehearsed, unplanned praises. So there comes a point, it's okay if you want to practice your songs, it's okay if we want to do those things, but there comes a point when the Lord says, sing a new song to me. And I'm to the human ear, it may sound like a big bowl of whoa. But to the Lord, it is pleasing to him when his people come together. Guys, there is something special when we come together as a family, as a community of believers, and we worship the Lord together. I've always have had an emphasis when we gather on worship, because I have understood since I've been saved that it's not just singing three songs and calling it good and then going on. And hey, let me get this understanding to you guys. It's praise and worship. It's not about us. I know there's some what they call horizontal worship, where it talks about, you know, there's a lot of me's and the I's in there. Okay, but this is praise and worship that is vertical. It's straight up to the Lord. It has really, in a sense, nothing to do with us, but everything to do with him and how faithful and great he is. Amen? So Tehillah, Psalms 22:3 talks about this. He's enthroned on the praises or the Tehillim of your people. He's enthroned, which means when you read that, it almost as if God like pulls up a chair to us. He's enthroned upon our praises. It's so beautiful. Like I said, something happens when we come together and worship in unity. He lifts the weight of shame and guilt. Isaiah 61:3 talks about this. You guys can write it down, but in this verse, you know, actually I want to go there real quick. Isaiah 61:3. I share Isaiah 61:3, yeah. How are we doing so far? Come on. Hey, come on. Praise the Tehillah in the Tehillim. We know this is talking about Jesus, the year of the Lord's favor, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. It's talking about Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, praise God, to proclaim the freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Amen. Come on. Number three, and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. There's an exchange that happens when we worship in community in the Tehillah worship. We come together and we bring we're grieving, and he replaces it with a crown of beauty instead of ashes. In our mourning, he comes and he puts oil of gladness on us in a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So if you have despair tonight, if you're grieving or you're mourning or there's just a worldly sorrow, or there's just this sadness in you, the importance of this is that we get into this place and we understand that when we worship, even when we don't feel like it. I'm telling you, I if you've seen me in the beginning of my faith, I was the guy in the back with my arms crossed. And I always told myself, I'm not going to do it unless I really know what I'm doing. And I get that. I totally get that, because we're not about fake here. I'm not trying to, you know, fake it till we make it. We're not like that, okay? But there is a point when you do something that you're designed to do, even when you don't feel it, and you begin to just fall on your knees. And you're like, God, I really don't feel like doing this. But you fall on your knees, and something begins to happen because you took that step. Lord, I really don't feel like lifting my hands, but God, you're worthy. It doesn't matter how I feel, you are still worthy of praise. It doesn't matter if I don't feel like worshiping, he's still worthy of praise. And so there's something happens when we decide to lift our hands and we don't feel like doing it. And there's this release that begins to happen. There's this exchange that begins to happen where he lifts off something off of you and he like bestows upon you this garment of praise, this crown of beauty. Amen. You know, we talk about deliverance a lot, but I'm telling you, there's even parts of deliverance in worship. When harmony is reached, scientific fact, it releases oxytocin. There it is again. The Lord designed our bodies to respond to worship and praise, and you actually begin to feel better. So you're saying, I'm going to feel, when I feel better, I'll worship. But God's like, worship me, and you'll begin to feel better. Because you're doing what I designed you to do. Amen? We're cooking here. Five. Come on. We're cooking. I just get so sad. I'm like, let's just jump to praise right now. Number five, Zamar. Everybody say Zamar. This is a cool one. It's not just voices of singing, but instruments that deliver it. You know, we can sing with our voices, and that's so beautiful. But a part of praise also at times is when we can lift up our instruments to glorify the Lord. You know, we got Jeff who was playing piano up there and Tyler who was on guitar. And when we pluck those strings, there's something that happens when we glorify the Lord with it. 1 Samuel 16, David played harp for Saul. What happened? Saul was demonically oppressed, and every time David would play the harp, he would have peace. 2 Kings 3, is Elisha, he wouldn't prophesy until a harpist would come and arrive and begin to play because he wanted the atmosphere to be set for the Lord. There's something about instruments being involved as well. Amen. Hey, you can even bang on a box and glorify the Lord. Amen. I remember back in the day when we first got saved, we didn't really know how to play or do anything, but I remember finding this empty box. My buddy kind of barely learned how to play guitar, and it sounded, I mean, I'm sure our neighbors were extremely upset with how it sounded, but we were just worshiping the Lord, amen? This is why it's important, because worship music versus secular music. I would even say even some worship music sometimes. Gotta be careful. But this is why I'm so big on telling people, be careful what you listen to. Because if instruments can glorify the Lord, what do you think the enemy is going to do with something like that too? Is that he can influence music and the reasoning behind it. And so I just listen to it for the beat. There's still something there that you're receiving. And so I'm huge on this, but we got to be very, very careful what we allow into our ears, what we're listening to, because it goes into your heart. Now, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Some of you guys look lost. Amen. All right, number six. Number six is, everyone say, Barak. Come on. This is actually the most common one. 327 times in Scripture, it mentions this one. 289 in Psalms, 6 times in Psalms 103 alone. This is actually, and this I was studying this one out recently even more, and this one really blew my mind. So it means to kneel down, to bless the Lord. to honor him, an act of adoration, to praise, to salute, to pronounce good things on the recipient. So this word actually has something to do with, it's a connotation of the word knees. And so this one's actually mentioned in Genesis. Barak. It's when God created and he said, and then I'll bless it, and it was good. And that word is actually Barak. When he says bless, it's like a praise. And it has something to do with the knee. And what it is like when you have your little kid, you know, for those who have kid, and you put them on your knee, and it's like a sign of like, I love you, like I'm blessing you type of thing. But it's actually also talking about our response to that blessing is where we in return get on our knees for the Lord. It's an act of adoration and surrender. You may say, I can't do that. Then you always hit a plateau. If you can't move in a way of surrender, of response to the Lord, then you'll always hit a wall in your growth with the Lord. It brings you on your knees, a position of surrender and submission to the Lord. I'll tell you this much. The devil is afraid of a believer who's willing to get on their knees, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's a scripture that says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The first part of that is submit to God, then resist the devil, and then he will flee. I want you guys to understand is that we cannot resist the devil unless we first submit to God. The devil will not flee, and you will not be able to resist unless you first learn to submit to God on your knees. Amen? I have this story. I have this story of this, when we were still in the house for house fires, there was this young woman. She had a surgery on her knees. And I remember we were worshiping, and she had a really hard time with one of her knees. And I remember watching her as we were worshiping, and everyone was like face on the floor, and she was still standing, and she was like this. She began to slowly try to get down on the ground, and it hurt. And I remember seeing the pain in her face as she was trying to get down. And I remember going over to her. I'm like, what's going on? What are you doing? And she's like, that my knee hurts, but I want to worship the Lord so much. And she's like, I know it hurts, and I know this and that and what the doctor said, but I just feel like I have to be on my face, on my knees before the Lord. And I'm sitting there thinking like, man, she is literally in physical pain, wanting to worship the Lord so much. And so many of us are in the perfect shape and we can't even bow before the Lord. And I just knew in that moment, I said, I know we don't do it for the rewards, but I feel like God has something for your faithfulness. You're willing to push back pain in order to get on your knees before the Lord. And what it is the response. Because he first blessed us. Our desire is to God, I want to give back to you. I always say this, but the only appropriate response to a God who gave us everything is in return for us to give him everything. That's the only appropriate response. Nothing else is good enough. If we sit here and we declare that he saved me, he saved me from hell. He saved me from the power of sin. If we can sit here and begin to declare that he is worthy, and we have all these confessions about our faith to the Lord. But the question is, what we read in prayer today, is our lives matching our confession? And if it's not, it's not condemnation to you, but I pray that it challenges you tonight. That you really examine yourself and ask yourself, why can't I or why won't I bow before the Lord? Get on my knees before the Lord. If I can get the worship team up here. Barack. And number seven. I pray that you guys have kind of somewhat of a clear understanding of what worship is. It's so much more than just singing. Everybody say Shabbat.
Shabbat.
It's one of my favorites. It means to address in a loud tone, a shout, come in to glory and to triumph. Psalms 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all you nations, shout with the voice of victory. So what this is this is a holy roar. If we want to be technical, this is a holy roar. And if you read, one of the places that it says this is actually when they marched around the walls of Jericho. Man, if I can speak prophetically, there's some walls. There's some walls in your lives. That's going to require a holy roar from you. And for too long, the enemy has shut some of you guys down. He has made you passive. I love stepping on toes, guys. Because I wouldn't be here today if someone didn't step on my toes. And so some of you guys have been passive. Some of you guys have let the enemy shut your mouth. When in reality, God is calling you to be bold. He's calling you to be vocal. And what I love about this word Shabbat in scripture is that it actually affects generations. Scripture says, one generation shall praise or Shabbat or declare your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And you know in the Bible, that's Psalms 145, by the way. Psalms 145, verse 4. And did you know in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was actually a generation that grew up not knowing the Lord is because the previous generation stopped worshiping and praising the stories of the Lord. They began to shut their mouths. They stopped telling testimony. They stopped with the holy roar and the praise. And there was a generation that grew up not knowing who the Lord was and what he did. I don't want that to be us, guys. We've got a lot of different generations in this room right now. And there are even younger generations that are being raised up right now. And they're looking at us. They're looking to every person in this room that declares, I am a believer of the Lord. And they're watching. And they're seeing if we actually believe what we confess. Did you know that youth, when they graduate high school, like 65 or even more percent of them never return back to the church? And when they did a study and they asked them why, a majority of that was because they saw how their parents didn't live for the Lord like they declared. And the kids said, if my parents declare something and don't live it out, why, it's not important to them, why should I do that? It wasn't real to them. I don't want us to be just another statistic like that. I want us, during this time of worship, you guys want to stand up real quick? And I want to challenge every single one of you guys tonight. Whether you feel like it or you don't, whether you're confused, you just don't know what it is. You might not come in here and not even know the Lord. And I pray that afterwards you will understand and know him and give your life to him. But I want to encourage every single person to get out of your comfort zone right now. Don't hide behind a pew. If that's where you're always worshiping, I want you to get up front. Flood the aisles. I don't care. I want us to be challenged tonight with this. I just said it, that there is a moment when you won't feel like it. This is going to feel really uncomfortable for some of us. But I guarantee it's not my promise, it's the promise of the Word. I guarantee that if you guys were to step out and just look foolish for the Lord, you will begin to see a shift in your life. you will begin to see the very things that you've been praying and believing for come to pass. The things that you have been crying out for, you'll receive it and surrender tonight. And so if you remember these words, these praises, the hands lifted on our knees, we're shouting, we're singing.